All right, so let's go ahead and take our copy of the Bible that you have, your copy of the Scripture, and please turn to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. And we're going to be in chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13. Amber and I are so excited to finally be down here. We're enjoying the Southern hospitality. Everybody seems to be so nice and friendly. Had a good DMV experience, if that's possible, at the DMV here in Fort Mill. I was warned against going to the one in Rock Hill, but that was good, and a lot of people have been friendly. A lot of the stuff that we need to do, changing licenses and all that goes along with moving, you all know what I'm talking about. It's just about over, so we're excited about that and enjoying working with the teams. Romans chapter 13, I want to talk about something that we all do tonight. Maybe it's we didn't get much sleep. Could be it's cold outside. Maybe our bed is so warm or the neighbor's dog just finally stopped yipping and barking. Everything seems extremely peaceful, and what we do is we reach over and we hit the snooze button. Probably all done it. Maybe some of you are religiously against the snooze button. You don't believe in using it at all. Some of you might go ahead and set your alarm 3 hours before you're supposed to be up for the day, so you can go ahead and snooze your way into the day. I know some people who do that. They just love hitting the snooze button. What is snooze? So what does snooze actually mean? So it means to sleep, to slumber, to doze, or to nap. Doesn't necessarily mean hitting the button and getting your extra 9 or 15, or in this case, I only get 5 more minutes with this. Could mean just to simply be sleeping. You know, you've been there in your class at school, and maybe it's a 7 o'clock class, or maybe it's in the afternoon, and you're sitting there kind of dozing for a little while. That would be snoozing as well, according to the dictionary definition. And, you know, this could be harmless enough. Hitting the snooze button in the morning could be. But I want us to talk about a different subject, not just snooze. We're not here to talk about sleep, obviously. This is Bible Baptist Church. But I want us to talk about a subject that I want to call spiritual snooze. And although it may be harmless enough to hit regular snooze on your day, it is extremely harmful to hit the snooze button in your spiritual life, called spiritual snooze. So what is spiritual snooze? What are you talking about? What do we mean? To define it for us this evening, I want to call spiritual snooze this: choosing to ignore God in my life. Okay, so God is trying to speak to me, or whatever the scenario is, there's something in my life going on that I need to be paying attention to, and instead, I'm choosing to ignore it. So I'm choosing to reach over and hit the snooze button on my spiritual life. Now, how could we be choosing to ignore God? First, just three things that we could ignore in our lives. First of all, is God's presence. Is God always with us? Well, absolutely. If I were to ask you, you'd be like, yes, absolutely. The Bible tells us many times over and over again that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we know that once we're saved, that His Spirit indwells in the believer and He's with us at all times. So His presence is always with us. And we'd like to think of His presence, and it's good that we should think of His presence when we're maybe in a place of danger or something where we really need help or there's this burden on our lives. We really want to know that God's with us and His presence is with us. But sometimes we like to forget that He's with us when we're going to try to do something that's wrong. We're going to maybe fudge some numbers here or fudge our time clock here or maybe take this or, you know, just take a look at this picture. We want to try to push God's presence out of our life at times when He's always there. Whether we want Him to be there or we don't want Him to be there, He's always there. So that would be choosing to ignore God's presence in my life, reaching over, hitting the snooze button. I don't think He's actually with me. When He is, the next thing would be His plan for my life. What does God want you to do? What is it that He has called you to do? What is it that He's told you to do, showed you to do, instructed you in His Word? Sometimes, I know in Bible college, one of the things that all the students were, you know, so up and trying to figure out, what in the world am I supposed to be doing? What is God's will for my life? And I remember some of the messages that I heard that gave great clarity were when a preacher would stand up and say, this is God's will. There is so much in this that you and I need to work on that we can, now there are things, there are decisions and life vocation things that we need God's direction on, but let's get this down first and God's going to lead us in the other things. This is God's will for our lives. But oftentimes we decide to hit the snooze button in regards to what God wants us to do, His plan for our lives. And then the third thing that we, how we can ignore God, how we can hit spiritual snooze, is with His people. Two ways. One, He brings people into my life that He wants me to minister to. Somebody that He brings into my path, maybe on my busy day, maybe in a schedule where I have a lot going on, and there's somebody there that I know that God has brought that person to me and I should minister to them. I need to give them a word of encouragement. I need to say, you know, I need to stop and say, how are you doing? I just need to listen to them, could be. But that person, if I'm not careful, I might reach over, hit my spiritual snooze button, and walk right on by because my agenda is more important than the person that God has brought into my life for me to minister to. Or it could be somebody that he has sent into my life to minister to me. Could be somebody who's walking up to you and saying, maybe it could be a parent or a loved one, or it could be pastor, it could be somebody who's saying, hey, we really need to talk. There's some things going on in your life that I'm really concerned for you. You're making some decisions. You're going down a road that you do not want to end up where this road leads, and let's talk about it. And instead of listening and saying, you know what, I really need to consider what's going on. I really need to listen to the people around me. Everybody's starting to say the same thing to me about my life and the decisions I'm making and where I'm going. But instead of listening, I'm going to go ahead and reach over, hit the snooze button instead. So what is spiritual snooze? Choosing to ignore God in my life, whether it's his presence, that he's always with me, his plan, what he wants me to do, or the people that he has me ministering to, or the people that I really need to listen to, and I'm shutting them out of my life. Well, stop it. That's easy to say, right? Ignoring God can and will have devastating effects on us. No matter what time of day it is, we can never afford to ignore God. We do need to stop pressing the spiritual snooze button. So many reasons that we'll talk about this evening before 7. But the world around us is getting darker every day. We do need to choose to stop sleeping, quit hitting the snooze button, and get out of bed. So if you found your place in Romans chapter 13, we're going to read some scriptures here starting at verse number 11. And I want to answer this question tonight. Okay, so spiritual snooze. All right, that's fine. I'll give you that definition. I'll let you have that. Maybe that's happened here or there in my life. How do I stop? If there's such a thing as spiritual snooze, how do I stop hitting it? I'm so glad that you asked that question. All right, let's go ahead and look at the scriptures and let's see what Paul is saying in the book of Romans and through the Holy Spirit to us. Verse number 11 of Romans 13 begins, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Let's ask the Lord for help as we look into his word. Father, thank you for the word that you've given to us. Thank you for this book to the Romans. And Lord, I ask that you help us as we examine it. Help us to take something away with our lives that we'll be able to jog ourselves out of the spiritual sleep that we sometimes find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing that I see in this passage, and I just have three simple points for us. The first thing that I see that we need to do is, in how to stop spiritual snoozing, is to, number one, wake up. Just wake up. Notice in our text, verse number 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep," uses the word awake there. This is something that we actually have to choose to do. You have to choose to wake up. But in this waking up, I think that we need to step back for just a moment and go one step behind before we can go further, and that's this. I think that we need to be open to the possibility that we are sleeping. On a Sunday night, you and I, in this building at Bible Baptist Church here in Fort Mill, South Carolina, I want us to, in our mind, I want you to consider the fact that you and me, we may be sleeping. You may be sitting here, you're wide awake, I can see you're looking at me. And, you know, none of you have fallen asleep yet, which is good. But physically you're up, but spiritually there is the possibility that you may be sleeping. You may be snoozing. There's no way that you're ever going to go ahead and decide to wake up if you don't first realize that there is a chance that, really, you may be sleeping tonight. You just might be snoozing. So I want us to consider and be open to the possibility or the reality of sleep. Now, there's a lot of reasons why you or I or a person in this building may be sleeping. Could be that you know you're sleeping and you just don't want to wake up. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, well, I think, I don't know what studies say. I think they say you always dream, but sometimes, you know, you wake up and you remember your dream. Or sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of the dream and you're going through it and you know what's going to happen. Sometimes I don't want to wake up. Sometimes the dream is awesome. I don't know, you know, it's so many adventures or things are going on in my dream while I'm sleeping, and I would just as soon, you know, like to stay and finish the adventure before I wake up. And maybe that's where you are this evening. We're not talking about physical dreams like that, but we're talking about spiritually. Maybe you are in a spiritual state and you're happy. You're sleeping, you're snoozing, you're not listening to God's word in your life, you're not listening to godly counsel, you're not paying attention to God's presence in your life, and you're happy with it that way. And so you know you're sleeping, and you'd like to stay that way. So that would be one reason why people don't decide to go ahead and wake up. They're enjoying the way that they are, and they're enjoying their sleep as it is. The disciples found it hard to stay awake. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus left them, and he said, you know, you asked them to watch and to pray. And then remember, he went a little bit further and was praying and asking for the cup to pass from him, except, you know, he wanted God's will. He went back and he found the disciples sleeping, not once, but multiple times. And eventually he came back and he said, sleep on. You know, the time has come for the Son of Man to be betrayed. And Judas came with the company there. But the Bible says that the disciples' eyes were heavy. So I want us to first of all consider the fact that we actually may be sleeping. You may, sitting in this auditorium at Bible Baptist Church tonight, you may be sleeping. I want you to consider that fact. Notice back in our text in verse number 11, notice some of the language that the writer uses here. He says that the first phrase is, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. I want to focus on that phrase, knowing the time, for just a moment. I think that what Paul is saying is we need to be aware of our surroundings and time. We need to have some sort of a tap on what's going on around us. Knowing the time. There's so many passages that we can go to talking about how dark the days are that we live in. Paul, in other writings, saying that he believes that we're in the last days already, back when he was walking this earth. Many of you, if you are one of those snooze people that we talked about earlier who set your snooze button, many of you have probably come up with creative ways of jogging yourself into consciousness, okay? So if we were to have you raise your hand, I'm sure that many of you could testify and say, this is something that I've used that works with me, all right? So maybe you set your alarm clock on the dresser across the room. So when it goes off, you have to get out of bed and you have to go and hit the alarm clock. For me, I recently got an iPhone, and for some reason, the snooze button is extremely difficult to hit on this iPhone. So while I'm trying to get my finger to hit the snooze, because you have to slide it, you know, turn off, but you have to hit this little blue text that says snooze. For some reason, it's extremely hard for me to do that, and it's good. So as I'm trying to come up and hit the actual button, I'm sort of waking up. So that would be a kind of a way to jog my consciousness. The word awake there means to raise up, get out of bed. Sometimes I know as parents, I remember my parents would tell me, don't just wake up. You can't just wake up. I'll be like, I'm awake. Don't just wake up. You have to actually wake up and you have to get out of bed, because I don't really believe that you're awake until you get out of bed. So this getting up, this first thing we're talking about, waking up, it's not just enough to lay in bed and open your eyes and be awake. The language that Paul's using here is awake. It's to raise up. It's to get up out of sleep. It's the same word used sometimes for when people were raised from the dead, resurrection. It's not just be there and, okay, now I got consciousness. It's wake up and get out of bed. You actually need to make some effort. Get all the way up. I know many times in college we had 7 o'clock classes, and roommates would ask you the night before, you know, could you just wake me up, you know, if I'm not up in time for my class? And I remember having, you know, numerous roommates where if you just told them, wake up, or you shook them awake, and they were like, okay, that wasn't enough. So they'd stay in bed all day, you'd see them at lunch, and they're just coming in, you know, just waking up, and they're like, I told you to wake me up. And you woke them up, but they didn't actually get up out of bed. So that's the language that's being used here. It's not just consciously get up, but it's get all the way up. And then next under this getting up is understand the need for urgency. Look at verse number 12. Notice the language that's used here. The writer says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And he goes on to say what we need to do about it. So the night is far spent. The day is at hand. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness, sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's saying, wake up. Some people don't know about God. Shame on you. We need to be awake to right. We need to be telling people about the good news of the gospel. That's one reason to wake up. There's an urgency. People don't know if they have tomorrow. We don't know if we'll have tomorrow to tell someone in our sphere of influence that maybe only we can influence in a certain way. about the gospel. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 states, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He goes on to say, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." There's an urgency to wake up. Why do we need to wake up? Just so you can go up and go, you know, get up and go about your day and get more done? No, there's an urgency. You need to be spiritually awake because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. We don't have any more time to hit the snooze button. People need to hear about Christ. There's much that needs to be accomplished. So first of all, in our passage, we've seen that in how to avoid hitting the spiritual snooze button, wake up. The second thing is we actually need to get dressed. I see that in verse number 12. Look with me in the second half of verse number 12. So he says, I'll start at the beginning. He says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." And he says, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It's interesting that we were talking about the financial part of the church tonight, because we have, back in my former employer, Navy Federal Credit Union, we have a rule that we call the pajama rule. And my point that I wrote down here is that pajamas are not acceptable attire for daytime activities. All right. So the pajama rule at a financial institution, it was taught me this way. All right. So Regulation D, is anyone familiar with Regulation D? We have some bankers in here, maybe. Maybe not. Okay, if you are, you're not brave enough to, because you're going to ask me, I'm going to ask you, and you're going to... So Regulation D actually governs the amount of transfers that can be made out of a deposit account in a business month. Pastor was talking about we're allowed 3 for this or allowed 10 for this. Typical, I don't know if with business accounts, but typically for personal accounts, Regulation D allows you no more than 6 transfers out of a savings account to another deposit account. So if you want to take money from your savings account and pay your car loan, that doesn't count towards your transfers. You're paying a loan. If you want to take money from your savings account and you want to transfer it to your checking account, that counts towards your 6 for the month. All right. So over the phone, when we would help members and they call in and they do a Regulation D transfer, we have to tell them, now this is transfer number 1 for the month, so you're allowed 5 more for the calendar month or for the month of January. So we have to keep letting them know about that. The reason it's called the pajama rule is because if you actually have to take your pajamas off, put your clothes on, go out of your house and go to an ATM and make a transfer, doesn't count towards Regulation D. If you walk into a branch and make the same transfer, it doesn't count. But if you do it on your phone, okay, so most of banking is now done mobile, right? Probably most of you do it that way. If you do it on your phone, if you do it over the phone, or if you do it online, it's going to count. So if you put on if you take your pajamas off and you go to the bank, it doesn't count for you. Now, these days, people wear their pajamas just about everywhere. So the pajama rule doesn't end up being all that helpful now. But it used to be that if you had to get up and go, you would actually not get counted against the 6 for the month. So my point being that pajamas are not acceptable for daytime activities, although, like I said, some people use them for daytime activities. What Paul is saying here is we need to take some things off. If we're about to wake up and get going with our day, if there's some things, if there's some people that we need to reach, if there's God's will that we need to accomplish, we need to get rid of what we were wearing when we were sleeping. When we woke up, we need to get dressed. And the first part of getting dressed is take off your pajamas and put on your daytime clothes. Notice the things that he says that we need to get rid of. He says, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." He's using an analogy throughout this passage of darkness or night being living in sin, catering to the flesh, before you were saved, things along those lines, the Christian choosing to not live righteously. And then when he talks about being in the day or being in the light, he's saying, this is how you should walk, being upright. So he's using that analogy of night and day here. Ephesians 5:11 lets us know that we need to go ahead and take off some things. Go ahead and flip with me over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be in a couple passages there for a moment. Over to Ephesians, we'll start Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 11 states, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Our last phrase in Romans 13:12 was, "Let us put on the armor of light." Flip over, if you would, just one page to your left, over to Ephesians chapter 4. One page or so, got to be careful with that. I did have a professor in college who believed, and he's a great, I really enjoyed him, but he believed in the in Scoville's Bible as the best Bible that you could have. You know, so what he would do in class to make a joke is he would say, now turn to page 1018, you know, in your copy of the Word of God. And if you had the Scoville's Bible, it worked out for you. Anybody else, they had to just kind of go by ear on that. But over to Ephesians chapter 4, notice starting in verse number 22, states that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and, doesn't stop there, verse 24, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So taking off and putting on, and the rest of the passage there throughout chapter 5 of Ephesians is saying, here's what we need to put off. Here's some things that you need to put on. Be kind to one another. Stop fighting. Stop. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So not only get up and get dressed, but the third thing is, let's go. Vamos. It's not enough to just get up. It's not enough to get out of bed and get up. It's not enough to get dressed. We need to go ahead and do something. There's stuff that we need to accomplish. Notice verse number 13, the first phrase, if you'll find me, if you'll join me back in Romans chapter 13. The first phrase that's used in verse number 13, Romans 13:13 states, let us walk honestly as in the day. Let's go ahead and start walking. This is a conversation, this is our life that we need to go ahead and start living. It's not enough just to go ahead and get out of bed. It's not enough to be dressed and get on the armor of God and be ready and get ready for the enemy's attack. Take away the works of darkness and get ready. But we need to actually start moving forward. We do need to start walking. We need to start walking honestly or uprightly. That word honestly talks about it's not under the table. It's walking honestly. It's walking forwardly, straightforward. Philippians 1:27, we need to remember sometimes that we represent something much larger than ourselves. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, we need to go ahead and make sure that our lives are becoming or decorating or they match the gospel of Christ. There's a whole lot more to us than here's what my day is. All right, so I got my schedule on my phone and here's what I'm going to go ahead and do throughout my day. And then here's what I do this and here's my relaxation. There's so much. There's something so much larger than you and I. It's the cause of Christ. It's people outside of us that need help and attention. It's people that need to be saved. It's Christians who need to be encouraged. It's unchurched people who got hurt in a church and will never walk back in because they think all church people are mean. There are people around us that need us. We need to understand that we represent something much larger than ourselves. And walking in the light also means leaving some things behind. Notice at the end of verse number 13, he goes on to say, let us walk honestly as in the day. And then he says, there's some things that you need to go ahead and leave in the background. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. There's some things that won't go along with the Christian life. There's some things you need to take off. I won't take time to go through those right now. And then the last thing that I see is in regards to let's go here is that choices will determine our progress. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. In other words, choose to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That walk there is a command. It's a choice that we need to do. It's we're either walking in the Spirit or we're feeding the flesh. We can't do both. We can't serve two masters. It's one or the other. The best way to go ahead and stop living and rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness, and then he throws in two last things that are kind of scary, strife and envying. He kind of puts them on the same plane as the other two sets, is to start walking in the Spirit and leave those things behind us. Amen. So spiritual snooze. So easy, though, to just keep hitting the snooze button all the time, hoping that the problems, the needs of the real world will somehow just fade away. But time won't heal these things. We need to wake up, realize that our indifference could be costing us much more than we ever want to pay. By staying asleep, we might be missing out on valuable opportunities, neglecting vital maintenance, blending in with other sleepers, squandering precious moments when our light is needed the most. So the next time that you're tempted to, well, when you hear the alarm, and you've got the decision to make. Do I turn it off? Do I wake up, get out of bed? Do I reach over and hit the snooze button? And in my case here, get 5 more minutes, and then hit snooze again and again and again, and it's easier to hit snooze after you've hit snooze one time? Or am I going to flip it off, say it's enough, snoozed enough, spend enough spiritual snoozing in my life? Right now, I may have snoozed in the past, but right now, I'm going to decide that I'm going to get up, wake up, get out of bed, throw off the pajamas, get rid of the stuff that was part of the nightlife. Let's get clothed with some things that we need to put on. Let's put on the armor of God. Let's get ready for the day and let's go out and impact. Let's start walking honestly. Let's start impacting the people that God has brought into our lives. So I hope that we've seen, in order to see spiritual progress, that we do need to stop pressing that snooze button. I want to leave you with one question, and I want to leave myself with the same question, and that's this, before we have Pastor come. Am I snoozing tonight? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warnings. This was written to a group of believers. And Lord, you know all too well that it's easy for us to decide to let things slide and to let things slip and to not pay the attention that we need to you or to your people and the people that you've brought into our lives to help and to correct us. Be with us tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together. In Jesus' name, amen.